ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue. This is our third session in reading from the book Waja'a Shahr Ramadan by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Yani in the first two sessions, we discussed a number of items. From amongst them, the importance. The Shaykh began by talking about the importance of the gatherings for learning. Yani the majalis al-ilm or dhikr. And yani the virtue of these sittings and the importance of a person striving against their nafs and being patient with attending consistently these gatherings in order to benefit from the great benefits that come from the gatherings of learning. Also, yani from amongst the topics that the Shaykh talked about was the importance of receiving Ramadan. Ramadan being like a guest, yani that a person should receive with the greatest of hospitality. And he said that the people differ in terms of the way that they prepare to receive this guest, that is the blessed month of Ramadan. And he mentioned yani different types of people, and from amongst those people, if somebody can help me to remember, he said what? People who prepare to receive Ramadan by doing what? By gathering food, by going into the market, buying food, a lot of food to be able to eat in Ramadan, as though Ramadan is the month of eating and drinking, as opposed to the month of yani fasting, restraint, and so on, patience. He said that another group of people are the people that prepare for Ramadan, Abu Bakr. By amusement, they prepare all kinds of yani things to amuse themselves with, sport and entertainment and games and recreation and things like this. And another group of people, he said, yani are those people who, he mentioned them last as the fourth group, yani perhaps as the afterthought. He said those who, there's no change in their life during Ramadan. Yani Ramadan is like any other month. Yani they go through Ramadan, even Laylatul Qadr that Allah mentions in the Quran is better than 1,000 months. Yani it passed by them like any other night, like any other day, like any other month. And the last group, he said, yani are those people who actually prepare, yani who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given tawfiq to in order to prepare themselves to receive Ramadan properly by planning and making yani arrangement to be able to do as much good deeds as possible during this blessed season, yani this limited number of days, yani 29 or 30 days of the month of Ramadan. Yani preparing themselves to do all kinds of acts of worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those things that help them to get near to Him. Last week, he also talked about patience, that Ramadan, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described Ramadan is the month of sabr, and he also described it as the month that yani shahrul mubarak. And as far as patience, yani the Shaykh said that there are different types of patience. Can somebody help us to remember? And what are the types of patience that he mentioned? Na'am. Sabr ala ta'atillah. Yani meaning? Na'am, sabr and obedience to Allah. Being patient. Being patient, yani in obedience to Allah, fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing what Allah has commanded us to do. And this requires sabr. It requires that a person take control of their nafs and force themselves to be obedient to Allah, to fulfill the obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon us. And this is extremely important. And he said a second type of sabr, na'am. sabr an ma'asiyat Allah. Yani being patient and restraining oneself, preventing oneself, restricting oneself. Yani denying, preventing oneself from engaging in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, there's no doubt that this requires sabr, right? That a person restrain themselves from the acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third type of patience that the Shaykh mentioned, third type of patience, as-sabr ala, na'am, aqdarillah al-mu'lima. Yani the things that Allah has decreed, which cause pain to a person, cause harm to a person, that yani are disliked by the people, the calamities, disasters, yani things that befall the person, sickness, loss of wealth, health, loved ones, whatever, those things that we dislike, being patient also with that. And these are the types of patience that the scholars of the people of Sunnah mention, that sabr is of three types. Yani patience in fulfilling the commands of Allah, patience in restraining from what Allah has prohibited, and patience with whatever Allah has decreed to befall us of those things that we dislike that cause pain to the human being. He also mentioned, yani from amongst the hadith that he mentioned a hadith that contains a very important point. Yani from amongst the things that he mentioned about the virtues of Ramadan is that yani the Prophet ﷺ described Ramadan as a month of yani blessings, yani shahrun mubarak. And he said that the barakah that's in the month of Ramadan yani is entailed in that which is mentioned in some of the hadith, that in this month, yani from the first night of this month, what happens? Yani the doors of the hellfire are closed and no one of them is open. And the doors of paradise are open and none of them are closed. And the shayateen are chained up. And he said also that لِلَّهِ أُتَقَى. Yani Allah has those that He frees, yani مِنَ النَّارِ, from the hellfire, and that is in every night in this month of Ramadan. And that this is something that the Muslim yani should yearn for, should strive for, should seek, should be desirous of. And therefore, yani make some effort to be from amongst those that Allah would free from the hellfire by doing the things that yani will justify your expectation or anticipation or hope or desire that Allah will make you from those that He frees from the hellfire. And there are a number of other points. Yani this is yani just a brief summary of what we covered, so that we yani put ourselves yani on track with where the Shaykh now yani takes us yani in this discussion concerning this blessed month of Ramadan. And by the way, yani he also mentioned, or I mentioned, that the Shaykh said after the introduction to this topic, he said that there are some points, very important points, that he wants to emphasize. And he mentioned 6 points. And the first of those points we covered last week, that is that a person receives the month of Ramadan with happiness and joy. Yani being excited for this yani blessed season in which so much khair is coming to the believers in this time. So we should be happy and we should be joyous and we should be thankful. And the fulfillment, yani the obligation, yani for the person who has something to be thankful for, yani is to, yani it's obligatory when Allah has given us any blessing, it's obligatory to be thankful to Allah, to show gratitude. And that gratitude is manifested, yani it's manifested in speech, yes, praising and glorifying Allah and thanking Him. But it's also more importantly manifested in actions of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani showing gratitude by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling His commands and avoiding those things that He has prohibited. So that was the first point. And the other points that the Shaykh mentioned, and we're going to talk about some of them tonight, that is receiving this month of Ramadan with tawbah and nasuh, yani with sincere repentance, yani that a person should yani engage, yani prepare themselves for Ramadan, and throughout Ramadan with constant and continuous yani tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said also, from amongst those important points that he mentioned, that we'll mention tonight inshallah, is muhafaza ala siyam, yani guarding and protecting and preserving this fast which Allah has made the obligation on the Muslims in this month. And he said also, yani making an effort to realize, to fulfill yani the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said that a person should fast with iman and ihtisab. And we're going to talk about that also tonight. And the last points that the Shaykh mentioned, yani which we'll talk about in the next session inshallah, is yani the importance of the thing that the fasting has primarily been legislated for, and that is to attain a taqwa, And finally, the last point that the Shaykh will talk about is the importance of giving care to the recitation of Quran during this time period. So tonight, we'd like to go to the second point of those 6 points that the Shaykh mentions, and it's from those things that one should prepare oneself with in the reception of the month of Ramadan. And actually it is something that is ongoing for the believer, before the month of Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, and throughout one's life, and that is at-tawbah an-nasuh, sincere repentance. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمُهِمَّةِ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي أَن نَسْتَقْبِلُ بِهَا شَهْرُ رَمَضَانُ الْمُبَارَكُ أَن نَسْتَقْبَلُهُ بِالتَّوْبَةٍ نَسُوح مِنْ كُلِّ ذَمْ وَخَطِيَةٍ. After the mention of receiving the month of Ramadan with joy and happiness and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to receive this month and to be able to worship Him in this blessed time and all that comes with that, he said, ثُمَّ مِنَ الْأُمُورَ الْمُهِمَّةِ, from amongst the important things, very, very important things. There are a lot of things that could be mentioned. But he said, مِنَ الْأُمُورَ الْمُهِمَّةِ, this is very important, that it is الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي, it is incumbent, it is proper and befitting of the Muslim to receive this blessed month of Ramadan with, and that is with at-tawbah an-nasuh min kulli dhanb wa khatiyah, repentance, sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every sin and every lapse or error or mistake that a person has fallen into. Wa kulluna khata'un, and the Shaykh, he says, reminding us, and every one of us is a sinner. Receiving the importance of tawbah is not for some people to the exclusion of others. Rather, every one of us is a sinner. وَلَا بُدَّ أَن يَكُونُ قَدْ بَدْرَ مِنَّا تَقْصِيرٌ وَإِسْرَافٌ وَعِضَاعَةٌ وَتَفْرِيتٌ وَإِخْلَالٌ بِبَعْدُ الْأُمُورِ, that there's no doubt that it had to have occurred, maybe even unexpectedly from us, some taqseer, some shortcoming in those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. Or israf, perhaps he means israf fil amwal, wasting the waste of wealth. This is something to repent from, because it's sinful, right, to waste wealth that Allah has entrusted with us. Wa idaa'atun, and here perhaps he means idaatul waqt, wasting time, neglecting the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, not using it for that which is proper to use it for. Wa tafreet. Tafreet, it appears as though he means tafreet, fil wajibat, that a person, has been neglectful in fulfilling the obligatory duties. Wa ikhlal. And here, ikhlal, it appears that it means ikhlal fil al-muharramat, that a person has violated, has fallen into those things that Allah transgressed the bounds, and those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. There's no doubt that every human being has fallen into some of these things, and some of our umurs, and some of our affairs. وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التوابون, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrating an authentic hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu kullu bani Adam khata'un," that every human being is a sinner. Every human being is a sinner. وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التوابون, but the best of those who commit sins are those who repent frequently. التوابون, Tawwabun means not just the ta'ib, the person who repents, but those who repent frequently. Frequently. Those who repent frequently. This is siga mubalaga, tawwabin, or tawwabun. Showing that this is something that a person does a lot. The best of those who commit sins are those who repent frequently. So it is incumbent upon us, in light of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's incumbent upon us, knowing that we are sinners, and the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of those who sin are those who repent frequently. Then it's incumbent upon us to engage frequently in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time, all the time. So the son of Adam, the human being, لَبُدَّ مِنَ الْخَطَ وَالتَّقْصِيرِ يعني it is a necessity that the human being will commit some error or omit يعني something that is obligatory upon us. Some commission or some omission. يعني the sin or the mistake or the error is either in committing يعني that which is prohibited or in omitting that which is obligatory. And both of these require repentance. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said that what harms the human being from their sins is that which they haven't repented from. Yani what harms the human being from sins is that which you haven't repented from. Because whoever repents sincerely, then Allah removes the effect of the sin from that person. So we should know that the repentance yani that protects us from the harm of our error, our mistake, yani is not just from the things that we engage in which are haram, but also from falling short in occupying ourselves with those things that Allah made known to us are recommended or commendable or praiseworthy, even if they're not obligatory. Yani the person who doesn't take care to participate in the Taraweeh prayer or Salatul Qiyam in Ramadan, it's not obligatory, but the person who neglects this, this is something that a person has fallen short in. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recommended this for us and said that it's commendable and praiseworthy and rewardable. So not only the sin of abandoning salat or engaging in that which Allah has made haram, but also the shortcoming of not taking advantage of the praiseworthy, commendable things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered to us, especially in this season of Ramadan. Especially in this season of Ramadan. So the Shaykh, he says, so the month of Ramadan is a mawsum azim littawbah ila Allah jalla wa ala. It is a great, tremendous season for repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this month of Ramadan. How many of the people كانوا مسرفين في أمرهم مضيعين لطاعة ربهم مقبلين على أمور كثيرة من المنكرات. يعني how many, meaning this is a question, right? But the meaning is not a question, right? It's a statement. So many are the people, so many are the people, and we are from them, no doubt. So many are the people كانوا مسرفين. They were excessive and in going beyond the bounds of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us in their affair. And they were mudayyina, neglectful. Yani neglectful in fulfilling those or in doing those things that Allah, yani the acts of obedience to their Rabb. And they were occupied, muqbilina ala umurin kathiratin min al-munkarat. They were occupied, devoted, dedicated to many of those things that are munkar, that are evil, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani has made known to us in the sharia that they are evil. And the munkar, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyiru biyadihi. Whoever from amongst you sees a munkar, then change it with his hands. And if one is not able, then speak out against it. And if one is not able, then hate it in the heart. وَذَلِكَ عَدَعَدْفُ iman. And that is the weakest of iman. The munkar, the scholars said, is not just the sins that people are committing, but munkar is the commission of sins as well as the omission of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory. It's the commission of prohibited things and the omission of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. This is munkar. So how many of the people were in this condition? وَلَكِنْ لَمَّا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ هَذَا الشَّحْرِ عَظِيمٌ تَحَرَّكَتْ نُفُوسُهُمْ لِلْخَيْرِ وَأَحَسُّوا بِأَحَمِّيَةِ الطَّاعَةِ وَالْإِقْبَالِ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَوَجَدُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ النَّدَمْ عَلَى التَّفْرِيطِ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ فَتَابُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. Yani, how many of the people found themselves in this condition of going beyond, transgressing the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neglecting acts of obedience to Allah, and occupying themselves in that which is considered to be evil by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet when this month, this great month of Ramadan, yani came upon them, تَحَرَّكَتْ نُفُوسُهُمْ. Yani their souls, their inner beings were aroused, were agitated, were moved, were motivated to doing of good. And this is something that is obvious to anybody who can see, right? In the month of Ramadan, we see the people doing good like we never saw any other time in the year. We see the people coming to the masjids, praying in jama'ah. We see people reading Quran. Yani you can't go in a masjid except you see people opening the mushaf. Everybody's reading the Quran. We don't see this the rest of the year, that everybody sitting in the masjid is reading the Quran, that everybody is coming to the masjid for salat and jama'ah. We don't see this. We don't see the masjids full, except on Yom Jumu'ah. But in Ramadan, we see the people who have abandoned their obligations and who have engaged in every kind of sin and corruption. We see in Ramadan people turning around and doing something different. And this is a clear sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us to be able to witness for anyone who can see. It's obvious, you don't have to search for it, it's clear. That the souls of the people are moved because of this month of Ramadan. They are moved to do good. And they sense, they perceive ahammiyat al-ta'ah, the importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know, yani, in other people that they have sensed the importance of obedience? We see people obeying Allah that we didn't see obeying Allah before that. Yani, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon us to pray 5 times a day. And He made it obligatory upon the men to pray in Jama'ah. But we don't see people doing that. We don't see people doing that. But now we see that people have sensed the importance of obedience to Allah, and now they began to comply. And now they began to comply. Except that, yani, we fear that if the month of Ramadan ends, people will go back to business as usual. And they will forget about worshipping Allah, as though in the month of Ramadan, yani, people feel like they are doing Allah a favor. Yani, this is just a favor that I'm doing in Ramadan, doing all of this good. I don't have to do this. And the proof that they feel that they don't have to do it, as soon as the last day of Ramadan, yani, passed us, we see that the people have abandoned all of this. As though it's not something obligatory, rather it's just something extra that we do if we want to, and we don't do if we don't want to. This is what the actions of the people seem to be saying. So the Shaykh is saying, the people, they begin to sense and perceive the importance of obedience, and the importance of occupying oneself, yani, with that which is pleasing to Allah, turning to Allah. And they found in their hearts remorse. They found in their hearts remorse for their tafreet in ta'atillah, for their neglect of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَابُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى تَوْبَةً نَسُوهَا. And therefore the people repented to Allah. They turned back to Allah with sincere repentance. Inshallah, sincere repentance. Naam. How many of the people, كَمْ مِنْ أُنَاسِ حَسَلَتْ مِنْهُمْ التَّوْبَةً النَّسُوهِ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرَ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَمْ يَعُودُوا بَعْدَهَا إِلَى مَا كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ فِي السَّالِفْ أَوْقَاتِهِمْ مِنْ إِصْيَانٍ وَتَفْرِيتٍ. Yani, how many of the people, so many of the people, meaning so many of the people, they have achieved sincere repentance in this tremendous, magnificent month. And then they didn't return to that which they were upon in the previous time. Yani, meaning their sins and their neglect of their duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This we witnessed. Perhaps we ourselves have experienced this. That we repented, yani, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and didn't return to that which we were upon previously. وَإِذَا كَانَ الْمُفَرِّطُ الْمُضَيِّعُ الْمُقَصِّرُ لَمْ تَتَحَرَّكْ نَفْسُهُ لِلتَّوْبَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي مِثْلَ هَذَا الْمَوْسَمِ فَمَتَى تَتَحَرَّكْ نَفْسُهُ. So the Shaykh, he again asks a question. And the question doesn't require an answer, it's a statement, right? So if the person who has been neglectful, the person who has wasted their time, and the person who has been muqassir, who has fallen short, if their nafs was not moved, was not aroused, was not stirred, was not awakened to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, In the like of this season, then when will their soul be, yani, awakened? When will it be aroused? When will it be moved? Yani, if it doesn't happen now, it's not likely that it will ever happen. وَإِذَا لَمْ تَحْتَزَّ مَشَاعِرُهُ فِي مِثْلَ هَذَا الْوَقْتِ فَمَتَى تَحْتَزُّ. And if a person's feelings, their senses are not aroused, are not moved in the like of this time, then when will they be moved? Indeed, the month of Ramadan is a great season from the seasons of repentance to Allah Jalla wa Ala. So we must receive it with sincere repentance from every sin and every mistake or slip or error or lapse that we have fallen into. Allah Jalla wa Ala does not accept repentance from His servants, from His worshippers, except if it was sincere repentance. And this sincere repentance must necessarily fulfill three conditions. The first of them is an-nadam ala fi'l al-dhunub, yani that the person has remorse or regret for doing those sins, for committing those sins. And the second of them, al-azmu ala adam al-awda ilayha, that a person must make firm resolve not to return back to those sins, not to return to those sins. And the third, وَالْعِقْلَاعُ عَنْهَا تَمَامًا, yani to abandon those sins completely. Yani the thing that the person has repented from, we must abandon it. We must desist, abstain, resist, refrain, give it up. You must give it up. Yani meaning that a person who repents sincerely, in order for their repentance to be accepted, it must be, to be sincere repentance, fulfill three conditions. A person has remorse for having done it. They must make resolve, firm resolve, determined will, not to go back to it ever. And they must, what? They must leave it, stop doing it. A person can't claim that they have repented while they're still doing the act, and you have to give it up. And if a person repents sincerely with the conditions of repentance, and then the weakness of their soul, yani, cause them to go back to that sin again, it's only upon them to repent sincerely again. It's upon them to repent sincerely again. Nobody should say that I have repented and I have fallen back into this, therefore it is over, I'm doomed. No. Rather, sincere repentance is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even if the person had repented 100 times before. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So these three conditions, yani with these three conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the repentance of His worshipper if that person repents to Him. That is, that the person abandons, يُقْلِعَ عَنَ الذَّمْ تَمَانًا, yani that they abandon that sin, give it up completely. And then that they make firm resolve in their heart and in their inner self, yani in the depth of their heart, not to go back to it ever again. And then they must feel remorse, yani full, serious, severe, yani remorse, for having ala wuku'i fi dhunub, yani for having fallen into those sins. So if yani the repentance with these conditions have been achieved by a person, then this repentance is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, it is indeed yani a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He prohibit us from something, or He commanded us with something, and we yani engaged in that which He prohibited, or we fail to fulfill that which He made obligatory upon us. And in spite of that, if we repent to Him, He accepts sincere repentance. And this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He commanded us, and we didn't fulfill the command, and then if we repented, He accepts repentance from us. He accepts it. The Shaykh says, if these conditions are met, then the repentance is accepted. وَيُضِيفُ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ إِلَى هَذِهِ الشُّرُوطِ الثَّلَاثَ شَرْطًا رَابِيًا. And the scholars, the people of knowledge, the ulama, they have added, yani they have yani added to these conditions a fourth condition, and that is if the sin is related to the rights of the human beings, حُقُوقَ الْآدَمِيِّينَ. If it's related to the rights of the human beings, such as the person has taken some wealth from somebody unlawfully, or the person has تَعَدَّ عَلَى حَقْ مِنْ حُقُوقِهِمْ, yani transgress the rights of the people, transgress, violated their rights in some kind of way, or whatever is similar to this. In this case, yani there's a condition concerning this type of, this person, there's a fourth condition, and it is that the person return the right to the people who it belonged to, whatever they have taken from them unlawfully, unjustly. Or يَتَحَلَّلُهُمْ مِنْهُ, yani that the person seeks to free themselves from that violation. That is, by asking pardon from the person who they have violated, or the person that they have taken something from their rights. Yani either to return their rights to them, or to ask them to free you from it by pardoning you. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, وَفَقَنَ اللَّهُ أَجْمَعِينَ لِتَوْبَ النَّسُوءِ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ وَخَطِيئَةٍ. Yani that may Allah grant us success, all of us. Yani in having sincere repentance from every sin and every mistake or error or lapse that we have fallen into. After this, the Shaykh, he says, ثُمَّ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمُهِمَّةِ. After this, from those important affairs, التي ينبغي أن نهتم بها في شهر رمضان, that it is incumbent upon us to give care, the utmost care, الاحتمام, give care to this thing in the month of Ramadan, أن نحافظ على السيام الذي هو فريضة هذا الشهر. Yani that we guard and protect and preserve this fasting, which is the obligatory duty that Allah has placed in this month here. Yani this is a special obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us in this particular month, and that is the fasting. So that one, yani it is important that we give care to protect and preserve this fast. And here the Shaykh says that the people, وَالنَّاسُ يَتَفَاوَتُونَ فِي سِيَامِهِمْ تَفَاوَتٌ عَظِيمًا. Yani that the people differ. There's a great difference between the people, the levels, the achievement, the success, yani the perfection of the people in this particular matter, yani in their fasting. People are not the same, but they differ greatly. تَفَاوَتًا عَظِيمًا. Yani meaning that the differences between the people and the observation of this fast is tremendous. Yani somebody's on the first floor or in the basement, and the other person is on top of a skyscraper. One person is on earth, the other one is in the sky. In terms of the difference between the levels of the people in this fast, people are not the same. People are not the same. We are not the same in this. The Shaykh says, لَيْسُ فِيهِ عَلَى دَرَجَةً وَاحِدَةً. People are not on one level in this fast. وَإِن كَانُوا جَمِيعًا يَشْتَرِكُونَ فِي الْإِمْسَاكِ عَنِ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ وَسَائِلِ الْمُفَطَّرَاتِ مِنْ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ إِلَى غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. And even though all of the people are sharing in abstinence from food and drink and the other things which invalidate the fast. And here obviously the Shaykh is saying, يعني وسائل المفطرات, he means the مفطرات المادية. He's obviously referring to those things, the material things that invalidate the fast. He's not talking about the مفطرات المعنوية, the other things that invalidate the fast. Okay? He's saying that even though the people are sharing in imsak, abstaining from food and drink, all of the people who are fasting are abstaining from food and drink. All the people who are fasting are abstaining from the mufattirat al-madiyah, yani the physical, material things that invalidate the fast. Naam. He doesn't mean that they are abstaining from the other things that invalidate the fast. Because the mufattirat are two types, right? Al-madiyah and al-ma'nawiyah. So from the mufattirat al-ma'nawiyah is that a person, yani, abuses somebody in speech. Or that a person, yani, gives false testimony. Or that a person lies, or slanders, or backbites, or cheats. These are also mufattirat. These are also mufattirat. Yani shouting and screaming at people. Acting ignorantly towards people. All of these are from the things that also are mufattirat. But the Shaykh is saying here that the people in general are sharing in abstaining from food and drink and the material things that invalidate the fast, from the break of dawn until the setting of the sun. لَكِنَّهُمْ يَتَفَاوَتُونَ فِي التَّتْمِيمِ سِيَامِهِمْ وَتَكْمِيلِهِ وَإِتْيَانِ بِهِ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَكْمَلِ وَالْأَتَمِ تَفَوْتًا عَظِيمًا. In spite of the people sharing in those things, there's a great difference in the people in terms of their tatmeem, yani their completion of the fast, and their takmeel, their perfection of their fast. Wal ityan bihi ala wajh al akmal wal atam. And them, yani fulfilling the obligations of the fast in the most complete and perfect manner. In terms of this, the completion and the perfection and the performing, the fulfillment of the fast in the most complete and perfect manner, the people differ with a great difference. Tafawutan azima. And here, I just want to make a note, yani, on this point of the Shaykh, yani, in reference to the mufattirat al-ma'nawiyah. And from amongst the proofs that the things that invalidate the fast at least cause it to become incomplete and imperfect. And maybe not even acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I say that because some people might imagine, yani it could be the view of some scholars, that these things, the other things, don't really invalidate the fast, but they only reduce the perfection and completion of the fast. But we say, as some of the scholars said, as Imam Muhammad ibn Nasruddin al-Albani said, rahimahullah, he said that there are things that actually invalidate the fast, to the extent that the fast is not even accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the proofs of that, yani the other things besides food and drink and marital relations, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفُثْ وَلَا يَسْخَبْ, and in some of the narrations, وَلَا يَجْهَلْ فَإِنْ شَابَ أَوْ شَاتَمَهُ أَحَدٌ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person finds himself, yani on a day of their fast, فَلَا يَرْفُثْ, don't use obscene language, وَلَا يَسْخَبْ, and don't shout or scream at people, and in some of the narrations, وَلَا يَجْهَلْ, and don't act ignorantly. And if somebody, yani, abuses you, or even wants to fight you, then say to them, I am fasting. Yani, this hadith suggests to us that if a person is fasting, they are not supposed to shout and scream and act ignorantly. And another hadith is more clear, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, رُبَّ صَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ, that there are some people who are fasting who don't get anything from their fasting, إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. Yani, the only thing they get from fasting is what? Hunger and thirst. That means that, are they getting reward as though their fast is accepted? No, they are just getting hungry and thirsty. This hadith is more clear in its meaning that there are some people who are abstaining from food and drink, but they are not abstaining from other things, al-mufattirat al-ma'nawiyyah, that also invalidate the fast, such that that person doesn't get any reward for fasting, for abstaining from eating and drinking. Rather, all they get is what? Hunger and thirst. And what is even more clear is the hadith, and all of these hadith are authentic. Shaykh al-Albani mentions them in a number of different places. And the last hadith that I want to mention concerning this is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَضَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّوءِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Yani that whoever doesn't give up false speech and acting in accordance with false speech, yani false speech and false actions, وَالْجَهْلَ, and the hadith is in Bukhari, and ignorance, acting ignorantly, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ, Allah has no need, أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابَهُ, that the person give up their food and drink. Allah has no need for the person to give up their food and drink if they don't what? Give up, yani, false speech and false action and acting ignorantly. And this is a clear proof that what is, yani, intended by fasting is not just giving up food and drink, but rather, yani, giving up those things that Allah has made haram. Yani, this is only a means for a person to achieve a taqwa, which enables a person to abstain from that which Allah has prohibited, and to fulfill that which Allah has commanded. So these hadith and others like it, and there are many, yani, make us to know that the things which invalidate the fast are not just material, physical things. Rather, there are many things that invalidate the fast, and those things are extremely important. And because the people do not give up these things, this makes the difference between some people, as the Shaykh is referring here, tafawut al-azima. That the difference between the people and their fasting is a great difference, because some people are just giving up food and drink, and other people are giving up all the things that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ سُئِلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَيِّ الصَّائِمِينَ أَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which of the fasting people will receive the greatest reward? And he said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لِلَّهِ ذِكْرًا. Yani, those who are remembering Allah the most. أَكْثَرُهُمْ, those who are the most in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yani, this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmed and al-Tabarani in al-Dua and al-Kabir, Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, and it appears as though, yani, I couldn't find any, yani, isnad that's sahih for this hadith. I couldn't find, yani, in my little search, yani, for this hadith, I couldn't find any isnad that is sahih for this hadith, and it appears as though, yani, it is a weak narration. However, however, I would mention here, yani, as a benefit, Yani, I will remind us, this hadith came previously, right? Does anybody remember in Al-Wasiyah Sughra? In the Wasiyah Sughra, where Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that أَنَّ مُلَازِمَةَ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ دَائِمًا هُوَ أَفْضَلْ مَا شَغَلَ أَوْ شُغِلَ الْعَبْدِ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ أَوْ شَغَلَ الْعَبْدِ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ بِالْجُمْلَةِ Yani, that the remembrance of Allah all the time, constantly and consistently, it is the best thing that a person can occupy themselves with overall. Yani, what is the best of these after obligatory deeds? The remembrance of Allah. And in that discussion, we came across this saying. Yani, the Shaykh mentioned this narration. And this narration, yani, is reported from the Prophet ﷺ, just as we mentioned it here. And at that point, yani, the Shaykh also mentioned, he said, وَهَذَا حَدِيثٌ يُرَفَعَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ This is a hadith that is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was said to him, which of the fasting people will get the greatest reward? He said, those who remember Allah the most. And he was also asked about the people who are making Umrah and the people who are making Hajj and other acts of Ibadah. And he said, the best of those people in each type of Ibadah is the one who is remembering Allah the most. This narration was reported by Ibn al-Qayyim in his book, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Wabil al-Sayyib, mentions this narration, وَاسْتَخْلَصَ مِنْهُ قَاعِدَ وَهِيَ أَنَّ أَفْضَلَ أَهْلِ كُلِّ طَاعَةٍ وَكُلِّ عَمَلٍ أَكْثَرُهُمْ فِيهَا ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ And based on this narration, yani, in spite of the weakness of its isnad, the meaning of it, according to Ibn al-Qayyim, is true and it is correct. And he said that we have a principle based on this, and that is that the best of the people of every act of obedience or every good deed, the best of the people in that deed are those who are most in remembering Allah in it. And this includes the people who are fasting, and the people who are making Hajj, and the people who are praying, and other deeds. Yani, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says that this is a principle, a qa'ida, that the best of every people from any good deed, the people who pray, or the people who fast, or the people who give charity, are those from amongst them who are remembering Allah the most. And this is because of the greatness and the excellence and the superiority of remembrance of Allah that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah refers to when he said the best of deeds after the obligatory deeds is the remembrance of Allah. And this is because of many narrations which we don't have time to mention tonight. This is not our subject. But if anybody goes back and look at the narrations of hadith concerning the remembrance of Allah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned two of them. One of them, he said, سَبَقَ الْمُفَرِّدُونَ Yani, those who, yani, would excel. Others are the مُفَرِّدُونَ. They say, who are those? He said, those who remember Allah much. Those who remember Allah much. Meaning that the people who would exceed and excel and precede everyone else are the people who remember Allah much. In another narration he said, shall I inform you of the best of your deeds and the thing which will raise you the highest and be the most pure to you and will be better for you than giving gold and silver and better for you than meeting your enemy on the battlefield and you striking their necks and they striking yours. And they said, Bala ya Rasulullah, yani, what could be better than all of those things? He said, Dhikrullah. And these narrations and others make us to know that the remembrance of Allah is the greatest of all deeds. And therefore, anybody who's doing any act of worship, yani their act of worship would be enhanced and they would supersede and outdo everyone else who's doing that act if they're engaged constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yani, I say this to remind us of the importance while we are fasting and in all times, when we are praying, when we are fasting, when we are giving charity, whatever we're doing of good throughout our day, when we are working, when we are driving, when we are waiting online in the supermarket, that we should be constantly, as much as possible, keeping our tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatest of deeds that one can be engaged in, that one can occupy oneself with after remembrance of Allah. So here the Shaykh, he says, so it is well known that the people who are fasting, that they excel one another, that they differ with a great difference, and they are not the same, في إقبال على ذكر الله, in being occupied or devoted or giving attention to the remembrance of Allah, that they are not the same in being occupied with the Quran, and they are not the same in al-muhafaza ala ta'a. Yani the people are not the same. The fasting people are not the same in terms of some of them being more engaged in remembrance of Allah than others, or more engaged in the recitation of the Quran than others, or more engaged in protecting and guarding and preserving the acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while one is fasting. People are not the same in this, and therefore, yani they will not be the same in their reward for fasting. Indeed, some of the people, the Shaykh said, spend the whole night wasting their time, destroying their time, tadmirun laha. Then, if they pray the Fajr prayer, yani those who actually do pray the Fajr prayer, if they pray the Fajr prayer, then they enter into a deep sleep, such that some of them, perhaps, they will let the time of the Dhuhr prayer pass them by. Yani its time will pass them by without praying. And the Asr prayer will pass them by without them praying. Yani some people will sleep until what? Until it's time to break fast. Wallahi, people do this. To us it might sound, yani, is it real? Is it possible that people are actually doing that? Wallahi, people are doing that. Damn. They're spending the whole night in whatever they're spending the night in, probably not in yani worship, and then they're sleeping the whole day until it's time to break fast. So the people differ greatly in the sifat as-siyam tafawutan aziman, yani the quality of their fast, meaning as opposed to the quantity of their fast. Yani people might be fasting the same number of days, the same hours in a day, but the quality of that fast differs from one person to another yani greatly. Walihadha yanbaghi 'ala al-muslim an yahrisa على تتميم صيامه وتكميله وملئه بذكر الله والإقبال على طاعة الله والمحافظة على تلاوة القرآن وحضور مجالس الخير والجلوس في المسجد وأن يجاهد نفسه على ذلك مجاهدة عظيمة. Watch yourself, let the brother get through. عليك السلام. For this reason, it is incumbent upon the Muslim to be diligent and eager في تتميم سيامه وتكميله, yani in the completion and the perfection of one's fast, and filling it with the remembrance of Allah, yani being constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Yani how can one constantly be engaged in the remembrance of Allah? First and foremost, performing the 5 obligatory prayers on time, in the place where it's supposed to be performed, in the manner that it's supposed to be performed with. Yani with khushu', with ikhlas, with concentration on everything that we are saying and we are doing from the beginning to the end of the prayer. In addition to that, the voluntary prayers that are before or after the obligatory prayers. Yani for praying those voluntary prayers completely as the Prophet ﷺ used to pray them, even though they are not obligatory. In addition to that, the dhikr that a person can engage in, yani saying Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulku lahu al-hamdu huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, making 100. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the person who engaged in this type of dhikr after the salat, their sins would be forgiven even if they were equal to the foam of the sea. How many times do we see people making the effort to go to the masjid and pray in jama'ah, and after the taslim immediately, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, running from the masjid like they are fleeing from lions. But what is more befitting of a Muslim is to sit and engage in remembrance of Allah. That remembrance which might take you, even if a person took their time, not more than a few minutes, even if you took your time with concentration and reflection on the words of Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Yani to do this after the obligatory prayer wouldn't take more than a few minutes. And the one who does it sincerely for the sake of Allah, then their sins would be forgiven even if they were equal to the foam of the sea. And who's not in need of this? How is it that we can just bounce up like Jack in the Box? I don't know if they still have Jack in the Box today. When I was a kid there was a Jack in the Box, right? How can we bounce up from the salat and run from the masjid when there's an opportunity here to complete and perfect the remembrance of Allah? All this part of the remembrance of Allah. Yani the obligatory prayers, the voluntary prayers, the dhikr after the salat, the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa in the morning and evening, Yani after the Fajr prayer until sunrise, after the Asr prayer until Maghrib, huh? And the Salatul Duha in the morning. The time between the Fajr prayer and the Dhuhr prayer is the longest time between any two prayers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us. Not only that there is a prayer in that time, but there's also Adhkar al-Sabah, that a person engages in remembrance of Allah after the Fajr prayer until sunrise. And that after the sunrise, yani after waiting 15 minutes or so, that the sun is clearly risen, then there's legislated Salatul Duha that can be performed any time after sunrise up until just before Dhuhr. All of this is that a person be engaged constantly in the remembrance of Allah. And Ibn Qayyim or Ibn Rajab in his book Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam mentions this discussion that I have summarized here about how a person can be engaged fully in the remembrance of Allah day and night through the proper performance of the obligatory prayers and the voluntary prayers that are connected to the obligatory prayers, and Salatul Duha and Salatul Tahajjud and Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa and the Adhkar that are connected to every occasion and event, yani when you get up in the morning, when you go to sleep, when you go to the bathroom, when you eat and drink and get dressed and so on. This is the way that a person is able to be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah and to perfect their Siyam in this month of Ramadan and to perfect their Ibadah at any time of the year, throughout the year and throughout our lives. Yani the Shaykh, he says, yani from the, of amongst the important matters that it is incumbent upon a person the paragraph before this, yani that the people differ in the quality of their Siyam, and for this reason it's incumbent upon the Muslim to be diligent in completing and perfecting the fast and filling it with the remembrance of Allah and giving attention to obedience to Allah and protecting and preserving, yani guarding one's tilawatul Quran, recitation of the Quran, especially in the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. This ayah is a clear indication to us that the recitation of the Quran is connected to the fast of Ramadan, especially in this month of Ramadan. This is why the Salaf of this Ummah, rahimahullah ta'ala, they used to what? Yani engage themselves fully in the recitation of the Quran. Some of them completing the recitation of Quran, not in 1 month, but in 10 days, or in 7 days, or in 3 days, or every day. And some of them used to complete the recitation of Quran completely in the daytime reciting it, and in the nighttime in the Qiyamul Layl. This is how careful they were to give attention to the Quran in this month of Ramadan, especially guarding one's tilawatul Quran and attending the majalis al-khayr, yani the gatherings for good, whatever those gatherings might be. The gatherings of khayr are not the football games or the NBA championships or whatever is going on. Those are not the gatherings of khayr. Yani the gatherings of khayr are not yani in the gym. They are not in the yani other clearly haram places. They are not where the people are engaging in gossip and backbiting and slander or foolishness. Rather, the gatherings of khayr mean where the people are gathering together to engage in acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that we should make every effort to complete and perfect our fast with these things. And the Shaykh says finally, al-julus fil-masajid, sitting in the masjids. Sitting in the masjids, yani for the salat, before the salat and after the salat, and engaging in the remembrance of Allah and the gatherings for learning and so on. And that a person should strive and struggle against himself with a great striving to force oneself to fulfill these matters. After this, the Shaykh, he says, this is the last point that we're going to mention tonight, a very important point, وَمِنَ الْأُمُورَ الْمُهِمَّةِ. The Shaykh says what? وَمِنَ الْأُمُورَ الْمُهِمَّةِ, meaning what? From amongst the important matters, بَلْ هِيَ أَهَمُّ مَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَأْتَنِي بِهِ الْمَرْءُ فِي سِيَامِهِ. Rather, this is not from the important matters, it is the most important of all matters. The most important, أَهَمُّ مَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَأْتَنِي بِهِ الْمَرْءُ فِي سِيَامِهِ. And the most important thing that one should give care to, is incumbent upon a person to give care to in their fasting, and يُحَقِّقَ قَوْلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمِ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yani to realize, to materialize yani to bring into reality the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا, these two conditions. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, then he will be forgiven whatever has preceded of his or her sins. Yani from the most important, it is indeed the most important thing that a person should give care to in their fast, and that is to achieve, to actualize, to realize the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever fasts Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِي, then he will be forgiven whatever has preceded before that, whatever has preceded of one's sins. And here the Shaykh gives a brief explanation of this important hadith, yani what is the meaning of iman and ihtisab, yani that these are two conditions, rather these are conditions not just for fasting, but these are conditions that a person should fulfill in every act of worship, that you must do it with iman and ihtisab. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, I remember reading where he said that most of the people lose out on the greater reward of their worship because of the absence of ihtisab. Because they're doing it without ihtisab, without yani consciously anticipating, expecting, hoping for reward from Allah for what they're doing. Rather, some people just go to the masjid and be out of habit, without considering that every step that one takes, yani Allah is yani writing for you a hasana, and Allah is erasing from you a sayyah, and Allah is raising you a daraja. And if a person doesn't have consciousness of this, then they lose out on the reward. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, yani whoever fasts with iman and ihtisab, then this is the person who will get this reward. Doesn't mean that a person will not get any reward, but this is a special reward that has conditions. And every act of worship has conditions. And these are additional conditions for the greater reward. That a person do an act of worship with iman and ihtisab. So this is critical that we keep this in the forefront of our mind, especially while we are in Ramadan and after Ramadan and throughout our life. The Shaykh says, it is incumbent upon the Muslim to fast with iman and ihtisab. Yani, iman here, he said, لا عادة جريا مع العادة. Yani, not that a person just fasts out of habit, just going along with the custom of the people. Yani, because everybody is fasting, especially if you're in a Muslim country, so you just fast along with the rest of the people. Yani, he means by this what? That the person's family is fasting, that one's brothers are fasting, that one's friends are fasting. فيصوم. So he also fasts. Or she also fasts. Yani, adatan, just out of habit with the rest of the people. وَلَا يَصُومُ كَيْ لَا يُنْتَقِدَ وَيُقَالُ مُفْتِرُ. And a person should not fast just so that they will not be criticized. And it will be said, this person is not fasting. Yani, a person shouldn't fast just so they will escape being criticized. They will escape being called one who is not fasting. وَلَا يَصُومُ رِيَان لِلنَّاسِ وَحَبًّا لِمَدْحِهِمْ وَثَنَائِهِمْ. Nor should a person fast رِيَاءً لِلنَّاسِ, just to be seen by the people, out of love, to be praised and commended by the people. فَلَا يَصُومُ لِشَيْءٍ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَغْرَاضِ. A person should not fast for any of these reasons or that which is like it. وَإِنَّمَا يَصُومُ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Rather, a person should fast with iman and ihtisab. What does he mean by iman? Imanan billahi, believing in Allah. Believing in Allah. Wa imanan bima'udi Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala lis-sa'imina wa annahu subhanahu yuwaffihim ujurahum bighayri hisab. And also fasting with iman, believing in the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the fasting people, and that he subhanahu will give a full reward to the people who are fasting without taking account. Full, ample, complete reward, بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب. Believing in the promise of Allah that He will reward the people who are fasting with a full reward, and that is a reward that doesn't, yani He doesn't count the amount of the reward. Allah doesn't say, yani for fasting, you're going to get 10 yani rewards. or 700 reward. Rather, Allah said, Yani As-Sawm, Yani all of the deeds of the son of Adam are multiplied by 10, up to 700. In some of the narration, إِلَى مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, much as Allah wills. إِلَّا السِّيَامُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِي. Except fasting is different than the rest of the deeds. Because fasting is for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I will reward it. Meaning that Allah is distinguishing the reward for fasting from the reward for other deeds, which are multiplied by 10 or 700 or whatever Allah wills. Rather, the reward for fasting is بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any count. And Allah is the generous. If Allah is rewarding without counting, what kind of reward can a person expect? The Shaykh says, believing in Allah, yani fasting, imanan, believing in Allah, believing in the promise of Allah, that He will give a full reward to the fasting person without account. Wa imanan bi anna Allah ta'ala farada ala ibadihi siyam. And believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fast obligatory upon His worshippers. And he believing that Allah has made this obligatory. We're not doing a favor. Rather, this is something Allah has made obligatory upon us. And also, let me just refer back, yani, to the reward that is given without accounting. The Shaykh is referring here to the ayat in Surah Zumar, 39th Surah, 10th ayat, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Yani, that the sabirun, the patient ones, will be given their full reward without account. And of course, we know that Ramadan is the month of sabr, because fasting entails all types of sabr, and the patient ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that He will give them their reward without account. So the iman is believing in Allah, believing in the promise of Allah of the reward, and believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory. وَيَصُومُ ihtisaban, and fasting with ihtisab, yahtasib siyamahu wa ada'a. أداه لطاعة الله تبارك وتعالى في هذا الشهر العظيم أجرا وثوابا عند الله تبارك وتعالى. يعني that the person should have احتساب, anticipation, expectation, hope of a reward for their fast and for the fulfillment of the acts of obedience to Allah تبارك وتعالى in this magnificent, tremendous, great month. يعني a reward, أجرا, يعني compensation, and ثواب, reward that is with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yani a person should fast with expectation and anticipation of a great reward, a compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a reward that is with Him for our fast and whatever acts of deeds of obedience that we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this time. Here the Shaykh says, وَالصَّائِمُونَ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَثَوَابٌ جَزِيلٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Yani the fasting people will have a great compensation and a tremendous reward with Allah Jalla wa Ala. And it has come in the Hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Hadith that I just referred to, As-Siyamu li wa ana ajzi bi, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that fasting is for me. Yani he separated the act of fasting from the rest of the good deeds that the human beings does. And he says, Was-Siyam li, of course every act of worship is for Allah, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is distinguishing fasting from the other acts of worship, in a sense making us to know that fasting has a special characteristic that's different from other acts of worship, and that is that nobody knows the one who's fasting except Allah. Yani any other act of worship that you do, somebody might know it. Somebody may see it. And even charity, if you give it secretly, somebody's going to see you giving it. Or at least the person that you've given it to, or the person that you gave it to give it to somebody. Huh? Praying, yani hajj, all kind of acts we do is known to others except siyam. Allah is the only one who knows who's fasting. Because everybody can come out, right, in the public and pretend to be fasting. And maybe, yani walk around like they're thirsty and hungry and they just got finished eating a meal. But fasting is exclusive in this sense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguish it, that it is something that is, yani, the core of it is ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because nobody else really knows that you're fasting except Allah. When a person abstains from eating and drinking in private, when nobody else is there, and only Allah knows, and they abstain, that's purely for the sake of Allah alone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith Qudsi, accept fasting, for fasting is for me, and I will reward it. And this is a clarification. يُبَيِّن عِظَمْ ثواب الصائمين وكبر أجرهم عند الله جل وعلا, showing the greatness, the magnificence of the compensation, يعني the reward of Allah for the fasting people, the greatness of their reward with Allah عز وجل. Therefore, it is incumbent upon the Muslim to guard their fast, أشدُّ المحافظة, يعني to make every effort of guarding, safeguarding, protecting and preserving one's fast. Yani not just from food and drink, but from all the things that invalidate the fast, or lessen it, or take away from its completion and its perfection. And here the Shaykh mentions another hadith, and this is the last yani hadith that he mentions. وفي الحديث الآخر يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in another hadith, للصائم فرحتان, فرحة عند فطره وفرحة فرحة عند لقاء ربه. يعني وعليكم السلام وبركاته. That for the fasting person there are two occasions of happiness. فرحتان, two occasions of happiness. فرحة عند فطره, يعني happiness at the time of breaking the fast. وفرحة عند لقاء ربه, and happiness at the time of meeting his Rabb. وحر رب, يعني فرحة in the فطره. The Shaykh says that the fasting person would be very happy, فرحا عظيما, tremendous happiness and joy, عندما يلقى الله جل وعلا يوم القيامة, at the time when they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. لأن الله عز وجل أعد للصائمين أجرا عظيما وثوابا جزيلا. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the fasting people a great يعني compensation and a ample, tremendous reward. بل إن الله تعالى قد خصص للصائمين بابا يدخلون منه إلى الجنة يسمى باب الريان. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only has He prepared a great reward and a tremendous compensation for the people who fast, but He has specified or made exclusive for the fasting people a door through which they will enter into the Jannah, and this door is named Ar-Rayyan. And this is as it has been confirmed in the Hadith As-Sahih, yani reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, As-Thabit, confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from the wordings of that hadith is the narration of Sahal radiallahu anhu, which he attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بَابًا يُقَالُ لَهُ الرَّيَّانِ. Yani indeed there is in Jannah a door which is called الرَّيَّانِ. يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ الصَّائِمُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Yani the fasting people will enter paradise through that door on the day of resurrection. وَلَا يَدْخُلْ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ. And nobody other than the fasting people will enter the Jannah through this door. يُقَالُ عَيْنَ الصَّائِمُونَ فَيَقُومُونَ. It will be said, where are the fasting people? And then they will stand, they will rise. يعني to enter. وَلَا يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُهُمْ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم repeated, and no one will enter that door other than the fasting people. فَإِذَا دَخَلُوا أُغْلِقَ فَلَمْ يَدْخُلْ مِنْهُ أَحَدًا. And once they have entered, then that door will be closed, and no one after that will enter other than them. And this indeed, yani, is from the great, yani, special rewards that Allah has promised for the fasting people. And let me just go back a minute and remind us that for the fasting person, in the few moments that are remaining, for the fasting person, there are two occasions of joy. The first of them is when? At the time of breaking the fast. And the second of them is? At the time of meeting your Rabb. Yani, why at the time of meeting your Rabb? Because of the great reward that you have expected and anticipated to receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reward that He said He will give without hisab, بغير hisab, unlimited reward. A person will be joyous on that occasion. But before that occasion, there's a joyous occasion in this world, and that is at the time of breaking the fast. What is the joy of breaking the fast? Why is the person happy at the time of breaking the fast? Yani, what's obvious, and that's not really the reason, or it shouldn't be the reason, what's obvious, if a person has been fasting 17 hours in the month of June in New York City, and it's 80 degrees today, perhaps they might be happy for that delicious drink of water, or those tasty dates. Those, what are those big ones called? Huh? Whatever, mahjur. Or maybe they had something better than that, khulas. Or maybe they had something better than that. Yani some of the better dates that we don't... Huh? Ajwa. Ajwa. Naam. A person might be happy because of that. For that drink of water or that tasty date that's nourishing and fulfilling the needs of the body after that long 16 or 17 hours fast. But rather the real occasion of joy at the time of breaking the fast is because of the joy of the success of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us to be able to complete the fast. Yani that is the true joy at the time of breaking the fast. That a person realizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you success. And this is a real occasion of joy. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled you to complete this tremendous act of worship. For which, yani there will be a greater joy in Yawm al-Qiyamah in the reward that is with Allah. The Shaykh says, and we close with this, وَعَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَعْتَنِيَ بِهَذَا الْعَمْرَ مِنْ أَوَّلَ الشَّهْرِ إِلَى نِهَايَتِهِ. Yani it is incumbent upon the Muslim to give care to this matter from the first of the month to the end of it. Which matter? Yani to fast with iman and ihtisab. From the first of it until the end of it. أَنْ يَصُومَ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. That we fast with iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wahtisab, with anticipation and expectation of the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imanan billahi, believing in Allah, wa bi annahu subhanahu awjaba alayna as-siyam, and believing that Allah has made it obligatory upon us to fast, and believing in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He would reward. Yani ihtisab, yani anticipation and expectation of receiving this thawab and this ajr from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is where we're going to stop here today. And I would just comment and say that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success and in the remaining days of this month to give more care to the protection and preservation of our fast by completing it and perfecting it with dhikrullah and other acts of obedience, whether it's the recitation of Quran, or whether it's the giving of charity, or feeding the person who is fasting, or the person who is hungry, or doing any other good deeds as much as possible. Of course, the greatest of the deeds after the obligatory duty is the dhikr of Allah. Let us be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah, and let us also be reminded that the dhikr of Allah is not just the words that we say on our tongue, that is a manifestation of what is in our hearts. It's not just the words that we say on our tongue, but rather the dhikr of Allah is every act of obedience that one does, is the remembrance of Allah. Every act of obedience that one does, yani in compliance with the command of Allah, or in abstention from what Allah has prohibited, all of this is the remembrance of Allah. Yani whatever yani a person reflects upon in their heart of good, of khair, then this is also from the dhikr of Allah. So the dhikr of Allah is from in the heart, it is upon the tongue, and is manifested in actions of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even seeking knowledge, giving da'wah, enjoying the good, forbidding the wrong, all of this is dhikrullah. Learning the laws of Allah, teaching the laws of Allah, acting upon the laws of Allah, all of this is the dhikr of Allah. Let us be constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah to complete and to perfect our siyam, and to increase its reward, and to bring us nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us also remember that the purpose of this fast is to achieve at-taqwa. Yani in at-taqwa, as we will talk about bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in the next session, in the last reading from this book, at-taqwa, as Talq ibn Habib said, it is that a person do the act of obedience based upon the light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guidance, hoping for the reward of Allah. And it is to abandon acts of disobedience based upon the guidance, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing the punishment of Allah. Let us remember that the purpose, the main purpose that the fast has been legislated for, fasting particularly, is the yani to achieve the taqwa of Allah, that if a person achieves it in reality, if they learn it, yani if they grasp it, if they take it on as a characteristic that will help them in the days following the month of Ramadan, in the remaining days of the year, in the remaining days of our life. And also, I also want to say that, yani, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that from the greatest purposes of the fast is to achieve a taqwa, in general, the purpose of every act of worship, the purpose of every act of worship is to establish the remembrance of Allah. Is to establish the remembrance of Allah. And this is mentioned in the Quran, and in other places there are other evidences of it. But the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَقِمْ الصَّلَاةِ لِذِكْرِي, yani, establish the prayer for the remembrance of me. And this is really the purpose, yani, the main purpose of every act of worship is for the remembrance of Allah, and this is what we should be engaged in day and night. May Allah grant us success, yani, in observing the fast, yani, the completion of the fast, every aspect of the fast, not just the material side of it, but yani, in its totality, to be of those who excel in our fast and be of those who earn the greater reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure and His nearness. And may Allah, yani, enable us to complete this month of Ramadan. Yani, we're halfway through it now, 14 days. Today we have completed, or almost completed, yani, in moments. Yani, and there are 15 more days, or maybe 16 remaining. May Allah allow us to see the remainder of this month, and may He allow us to, yani, be engaged, yani, in that which is pleasing to Him throughout this month. And may we be of those who are granted real success, and that is that we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.